Amen. Y'all continue to pray for our family. Of course, you know we've been goofing off this weekend, but amen. We were in Gatlinburg, but week before that, we was down in Georgia. And got a burden for that place, and then people don't seem to necessarily know anything about the bus ministry or anything like that. But if you can just see the neighborhood and the kids and the people down there that need to be reached, and of course you see that everywhere, you know, and seems like churches sometimes don't get it. Amen. And thinking about this song, and Christians ought to love like the Lord does, you know what? That's what I want to do. I just want to love like He does. I'm glad He loves me. I'm glad He loved me when the world, when the church wouldn't have nothing to do with me, you know. Of course, there was churches that did care, but I mean, most churches wouldn't have cared, you know. Most churches wouldn't have nothing to do with you, but the Lord loves you. And thank God He's got some folk out there that'll reach you and love you like He does. Maggie came home one day with a raggedy Ann. Said, "Mama, look what I found in the neighbor's garbage can.
She had a missing left arm and a right foot stuck hanging by a thread. She carried it gently up to her room and laid it on her bed. With her other dolls, she loves the broken walls. Wants to need a little patching up. She's a diamond in the rough. It makes it shine like new. It really doesn't take that much. A willing heart and a tender touch. If everybody loved like she does, there'd be a lot less broken home."
At a shelter on 18th Avenue, a 17-year-old girl walks in, all black and blue.
Be a heartless, broken home.
Sing that part again. He loves. I'm telling you, man, the Lord loves you tonight. I don't know where you've been or what you've done, but He stands here waiting to help you tonight. Waiting to save you, waiting to help you, waiting to fix you. The broken ones, man, I'm telling you. He'll help you tonight.
Can do more in 5 seconds in your heart if you'll just trust Him than all the counseling in the world, than every seminar and every training course. He done more for me in 5 seconds tonight. I got saved than rehab or anything else would have done. Ain't that right? God can do it instantaneously. Amen. That's what a man said one time. He said, I'm a recovering alcoholic. Not if you're saved, you ain't. You're not a recovering alcoholic. You're a Christian. You're a Christian according to the Bible. Amen. You're a child of God. Somebody, I'm not going to preach long tonight. You've heard that before, ain't you? That's true. True. I really mean that. But I got some things to say before I do. You know, I have a little trouble with my throat, and I hardly ever do that. Like, I went out sweating the other night after the ball game, and I just had on a t-shirt, and it was about 20 degrees outside, and I got a little hoarse. But somebody want to just stand up and brag on the Lord right quick while they're still praying. Stand up and brag on the Lord some what He's done for you right quick. Just pop up, pop off, give us a quick testimony. Right quick. Go ahead, brother. There you go.
He helped me. It's an understatement of the year. When He saved me in my lost condition, He helped me.
Go ahead.
Help
me. Amen. Go ahead. Hallelujah. Brag on the Lord.
You think you don't need help, you're deceived.
That's right.
I've never got to the point where I don't need God's help.
That's right.
I need God's help every day.
That's right.
Every minute. Thank God when I need His help, He's always
there. Yeah,
help.
Man.
I've never come to Him.
Amen. Yeah, that's right. That's right, brother. Woo! Yep. Preach. Yeah, amen. Amen. That sermon right there is worth coming to church for tonight. He'll help you. He'll help you. If you quit having the mully grubs, that's what my pastor used to say. I don't even know what mully grubs are. I think it's sitting around with an old sour look on your face. Somebody else want to brag on the Lord right quick. Lord done something good for you. Want to stand up and brag on Him right now. Go ahead, sister. Amen. What a blessing. Isn't that good? Somebody else. Right quick. Go ahead, sister.
Come on.
Amen. What a blessing. Isn't that good? How old are you, Della? She's 14, y'all. 14, about ready to turn 15. Don't that make some of you adults embarrassed? She preached a better sermon than some preachers I've heard on TV. That was good. Amen. Appreciate that, sister. Somebody else, right quick. Brag on the Lord. Stand up, brag on the Lord. Go ahead, sis. Yeah, man. Hey, man. Yes, praise the Lord. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen, sister. That's right. Amen. Amen. Bless your heart, sister. Isn't that good? You know, let me tell you what a church is. A church ain't a club for saints. People think that somebody, like, you have seen some churches, you like a fashion show, man. Everybody got to drive a certain kind of car, and you got to live in a certain neighborhood to feel welcome. You know what I'm talking about. Man, it's a hospital for sinners. That's what this is. And this guy told me one time, he said, Danny, would you have me for a member? And I said, you have me for a preacher? He said, yeah. And I said, it's a deal. Amen. All we are is a bunch of sinners looking for the Savior and serving Him. That's all we are. We ain't nothing special. Anybody else? Right quick. We'll stand up and brag on the Lord. Now's your chance. Speak now for the rest of the service. Hold your peace. All right? All right? Let's turn to John chapter 11, the book of John chapter 11 tonight. And I want to show you a little thought that's been on my heart the last few days. And, my goodness, I don't know how to say this. I promise you, it will not be long at all tonight. It's going to be very brief. Several people have asked me about my voice, and I don't usually get hoarse like this, but I guess it got a little cold. John chapter number 11. Please pray that I'll get better by tomorrow night at 7 o'clock, because I got to go all week. John chapter number 11. Now, there's a man here whose name was Lazarus. And this man had sisters, Mary and Martha, and this guy was sick. Let's read it. John chapter 11, verse 1. Now, a certain man was sick. He wasn't dead yet. He's just sick. Named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. And it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore, his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. Remember that. The Lord loved him even though he was sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. And Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that, he saith to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto him, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. Then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead. You got it now? He's dead. And I am glad for your sakes that I was not there, to the intent you may believe. Nevertheless, let us go to him. Now, the story went on that they went on over there, and he raised Lazarus from the dead. Now look at Revelation chapter 3, the book of Revelation, way over yonder in the India Bible, last book, Revelation chapter number 3, and we'll see this little thought again. Revelation chapter 3, verse 1. And unto the angel of the church in Sardis write, These things saith he that hath the 7 spirits of God and the 7 stars. I know thy works, watch this, that thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain that are ready to die. For I have not found thy works perfect before God. Now, here's a man, Lazarus, who was sick and then died. He was sick and then died. Now the Lord made him better even after he died. So the Lord, with God, there's no limit. He can't say, well, you went so far, I can't help you. There ain't no such thing as too far, he can't help you. A lot of people say, well, so-and-so, he's so bad off, there ain't no hope for him. That ain't true. The Lord can help. He helped this man after he's dead. Raised him from the dead. Then the church here in chapter 3 of Revelation, Bible said that it was sick and ready to die, just about at the point of death. Now I want to preach on that tonight, just for a very few short minutes. You'll be surprised how short this is. And talk about sick and ready to die. Now, the first thing I want to talk about tonight is the church, a dead church, or a sick church. Like that man said one time, said, man asked the doctor, he said, how's my wife? And the doctor said, she's improving. And the next time he took her to the doctor, He said, how is she? She said, the doctor said, she's improving. And the next time he took his wife to the doctor, he said, how is she? He said, she's improving. And well, she died. And he said, doctor, what did she die from? Improvements? And the truth is, she wasn't improving. She was getting worse and worse and worse. Churches tonight are dead. Have you ever been to a dead church?
Yeah.
Now, listen tonight. Y'all listen to me tonight. We're not setting the woods on fire. We ain't batting a thousand. And we ain't seeing mighty Holy Ghost revival sweep Burke County or nothing. But you ain't never been to a, some of y'all ain't never been to a really, really, really dead church. Lord have mercy. I have. There's been a few times when I'd be off track back when I was younger and I was preaching and we'd be going somewhere, go somewhere on vacation, and you'd look for somewhere to go to church. Have you ever been to Florida or somewhere and you thought, well, I'm just going to find a church, and you find one and drive in it? Good night, man. I'm telling you, cold ain't the word. I'm telling you, dead is not the word. Deader than dead. Colder than cold. Twice dead. Pitiful. Pitiful. I'm telling you, I don't see how some people stand. Look, we ain't perfect. But honest to goodness, I don't see how some people stand where they have to go to church. I'm telling you, it is cold and formal. No, one church turned in the report at the end of the year, and they turned in their annual report to denominational headquarters, and it said, this year, saved, none. Baptized, none. Added to the church, none. Died, 11. And down to the bottom it said, comments, pray for us that we will hold our own. That's a bad shape for a church to be in. That's a bad, bad shape for a church to be in. I'm telling you something, brother. And they don't want it no different. They don't want it. I mean, old Dr. Jack Frost stands up here in the pulpit and icicles dripping off of his nose. And I'm telling you, you got people sitting there like this. I mean, their mind a million miles away somewhere. The coldest. You know why teenagers don't want to go to church? Because where they've been to church is dead as 4 o'clock. I'm not talking about a bunch of junk or wildfire or put on stuff, but there is life. There's life in a real church. There's life in a real church. And it's alive. You can feel it. I've had people tell me one of the best compliments we've ever had. I've had people say, when I walked in that back door, they said I could just feel life. They said, I could feel it was alive. That's a compliment. That's a compliment to Shining Light Baptist Church. Amen. I didn't forget. Some of them don't want it. I heard about this guy one time. He was in this real big, fancy, dead church. You've heard the story. And I mean, where old Dr. Jack Frost is up there. He's got his robe on. They all got the robes on. Everything's so formal. Rich, all the rich people go there. And there's an old granny, bad weather, something she couldn't get to her church. She went in that big, dead, formal church. She is an old-fashioned shouting grandma from Spruce Pine or somewhere. That's where my mom's from. And Grant, she come in that morning, and boy, all that liturgy and all that stuff going on, and them chants and all that, rope, everything just perfect. They'd have a heart attack, preacher did what I'm doing right now. And old granny come in there that morning, she looked around, and somehow in one of the songs, somebody said Jesus. And when they said Jesus, the choir began to stir in her soul. And about that time, Grandma jumped up and went, "Woo!" And those people about had a heart attack. Can you imagine? They looked around. What in the world? Oh my goodness. Get that breast-beating fanatic out of here. All right, let's get it. And about that time, somebody said, the choir said, and Grandma cut loose. She had a shouting spell. She wasn't one of these people that had to be around. Oh, boy, she began to sling them arms. And she began to jump up and down. And she said, "Woo! Thank you, Jesus! Woo! Thank you!" And them people about died. I thought they about had a heart attack. They looked like, oh my goodness. I mean, big shots. They had Mercedes sitting out there, you know. And there were doctors and lawyers, mean as the devil. And all that. And there was crooks and everything sitting in there. And the pastor from somebody said, "Get her out of here. Get her out of here, man. This is bad for business." Oh, Grandma, she just kept shouting and waving her arms like that. And about that time, that preacher looked down. He said, "Get her out." So the ushers come and got her. And Granny was just doing like this, waving her arms, going, "Woo, thank you, Jesus. Woo."
and one of them got under one arm, and the other got under the other arm. And they turned and started carrying her out, like this right here. And they said when she was going down the aisle, somebody heard her. She was going down the aisle, and they said, she said, "Praise God!" She said, when Jesus came into Jerusalem, he came in on one donkey. But she didn't say donkey. And she said, "I got two!" Going out there, out there. And I'll tell you what, boy, listen, that crowd is dead. That crowd was dead, plucked up by the roots. I mean, deader than last year's bird nest. And I'm telling you tonight, I don't believe we necessarily have to have a noise to be alive. I don't think necessarily you have to scream and holler, but I don't want to be a part of something that's dead. He said, "He whom thou lovest is sick and ready to die." I don't want to be a part of something that's dead. Life's too short to waste in a dead church. Say amen right there. We'll have to give you all amen training classes on Sunday night. Great day in the morning, people. It's like this. Apple, bub, bub, cook, cat, dub, door. You ever learned phonics? You went to the wrong kind of school. That's what I figured. Listen, brother. Like this. Amen. A-M-E-N, pronounced man. Amen. Ready? 1, 2, 3.
Amen.
Thank you. I got a sore throat about to fall over. If I can scream and holler like this tonight, surely you can say amen. I don't want to be a part of a dead church. Can't stand dead churches. God don't like dead churches. The devil's the one that makes churches dead. Well, there's one thing that'll kill a church, and that's sin in the hearts of the people that go there. So let's get the sin out. I don't want to be a dead church. Amen. Oh, Ezekiel over there in Ezekiel chapter 37. The Bible said, oh, Ezekiel went over there one day. And he looked down there, wasn't nothing but a valley of dry bones. That's where a lot of churches are. All right, just dry bones. Isn't that a picture? I'm telling you what, I've been to the First Baptist Church of Dry Bones. I've seen them there. And you know what Ezekiel said? He said, "Lord, what are we going to do here?" He said, "Do you want me to get a famous quartet?" And the Lord said, "That ain't going to do it, son." He said, what if we put up some screens and we put up some screens and showed the words of the song on the screen?" And the Lord said, "I don't think that'd do it, boy. This crowd's worse off than that." And he said, "But Lord, what if we build a recreation center for the young people and let them play sports?" And the Lord said, "I don't believe that'd do it, Zeke." And he said, "But Lord, what if we started taking the kids on trips and we done stuff with them?" And the Lord said, "I don't believe it." He said, "Well, what do you want me to do?" And the Lord said, "Preach, son. Just get up there and preach." And so he began to get up there. And boy, the Bible said, Ezekiel, he got up there, boy. And that's happening in Ezekiel 37. And I don't know what he preached, but I believe it is this. He got up there and he said, "I'm going to tell you right now, you bunch of dead bones." He said, "Live!" That says the Lord. And all of a sudden, ankle bone connected to the leg bone connected to the knee bone, and the knee bone connected to the hip bone. That's what it said. It don't say that. That's what the mom used to say when I was little. And the hip bone connected to the ankle bone, all that. And hear the word of the Lord. And the Bible said them people stood up a mighty great army. Thank God, brother, that we don't have to have a dead church. We may not have the nicest building. We may not have all the money, but there is no excuse for us being dead. Hey, man, we can be alive. Brother, you can be alive in somebody's living room. You can be alive in a storefront building. There ain't no excuse for a church being dead. And the thing that'll kill a church is sin in our heart. Let's get our hearts right. It's getting youth rally time, people. We can't be dead. We ain't got time to be dead. Let's rise up like a mighty army and say, "Let the church roll on." Amen.
Amen.
I never forget that story I heard about that old time black preachers. I love to listen to them preach. I listened to one the other day. I don't know what his name was. Last name's Smith, something like that. And if you ever want to hear a sermon, listen to that sermon he preached on dogs, something about dogs. You can get it on YouTube. Dogs, watch them dogs. I believe in that. Watch them dogs. This from way back 30 years, back when preachers used to preach right, you know, before they got all Hollywoodized and everything, and moneyized. And boy, that old preacher, he's preaching, and the old preacher come around like that. He come around like that, and he said, "Now, brethren," ladies and gentlemen, he said, let the church rise up and walk. And about that time, old deacon sitting right over here on the front row jumped up like this and he said, "Yeah, preacher, let the church walk." About that time, the old preacher, he got into second gear. And he got into second gear and got a little higher into that high hum. And he said, "Yeah, brethren, let the church run." And the old deacon jumped up over here and he said, "Yeah, preacher, let the church run." And boy, about that time, the preacher, he got on up in the third gear. And he got a little higher. And that congregation was getting a little higher. And a little higher. He said, "I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, let the church fly." And boy, the old deacon got up here and he said, "Yeah, preacher, let the church fly. Woo!" And boy, the old deacon was getting higher and higher and higher. And the preacher said, "Now it's going to cost a lot of money to fly." And the old deacon jumped up and he said, "Let the church walk." That's the way it is, eh? Ain't that the way it is? Everybody wants church to fly, but ain't nobody want to pay for it, do they? Ain't nobody want to put forth the money. I mean, everybody wants a big, beautiful building. Don't ask me to give nothing. Everybody wants a parking lot pretty. Everybody wants people to be saved. Nobody want to work. Everybody wants to give, do something great, but nobody wants to give for it. Everybody wants the Holy Ghost to fall. Nobody wants to pray. Nobody wants to fast. I'm telling you tonight, that church was dead and was ready to die. It was sick and ready to die. Lord have mercy. Old John, people talk about John Wesley nowadays. If he come back to the average church, he'd faint before he got past the fifth ashtray. Well, somebody said, a dead church. Number two, a dead marriage. A dead marriage. Oh, the disciples come and said, "Lord, he whom thou lovest is sick." Does that describe your marriage tonight? "Lord, our marriage is sick." You say, "No, preacher, our marriage is dead." Lazarus was sick, and then he died. Some of you done got past the sixth stage. It's dead. Listen how quiet it is in here. Quieter than a turkey farmyard on Thanksgiving Day. Listen. You say, "Preacher, what's happened? My marriage is dead." Now, Hollywood has convinced you that you can't be happy and you're doomed if you're married and you're crazy if you get married. I'm telling you, that's a lie of the devil that is not scriptural. And I'm not sick and tired of hearing when a young couple gets engaged or something like that, all the women look at her and say, "You're crazy. You're out of your mind." I'm going to tell you, you ain't speaking scripturally, lady. Just cause you're miserable, you shouldn't wish it off on everybody else. Now, am I preaching the Bible or not? I know marriage is a risk. I know, brother, it's rough, but it is God's plan for just about everybody, and it's God ordained for just about everybody. And brother, you can make it good, you can make it bad. If both of you get right with God and commit it to the Lord, you can have a happy marriage. You don't ever hear nothing about it. You never see a show come out on TV where people's having marriage trouble, and then they go to church and get right with God, and everything turns out great, and they have to serve God together. Do you? You know why? Because the spirit that's leading Hollywood is against your marriage and your home. They want you to divorce. It's what the devil wants. All right. A dead marriage. Lord, you say, "Preacher, I've had them tell me right there in my office, we just tolerate each other. We fight all the time. The only reason I'm still here is the kids." Now what you got to do when you get married, it's a leaving of me to become one of us. Some people are too selfish. They need to get a divorce from theirself. Amen? Before they can love somebody else. Have you ever met these people who are in love with theirself? It's all right, ladies. You can nod your head. He's sitting right beside you, and I won't tell him that you nodded your head. It's all right. Men are really bad for this. Because men are naturally more selfish than women are. Naturally. I can prove that. Thank you, sister. I have one brave enough to say amen right there. God bless you. Slim Jim, he ain't worried. He ain't intimidated. He's got it all together. Listen. What was I saying before you said that? You interrupted me. Oh, yeah. Men being selfish. Did you know what? Take a baby. You take a baby. Hand it to a man, most men. He'll look at it, play with it, throw it up in the air a couple of times, hand it back to the woman. He done. Watch that woman, son. She'll stick that hip. I don't know how they do that. I'm straight. They can put a little, they got a little saddle right here. Put that young on that thing and walk around like that right there. It's weird looking, man. Looks like her hip's out of joint or something. And they can stick that hip out there and walk around the grocery store for hours and hours. I'd die if I had to carry a baby around the grocery store for an hour. We ain't made like that. I hate to tell you this. One time when Carrie was little, she don't remember this, I threw her down on the couch. Don't remember it, do you? She's about 3 months old. She wouldn't shut up. What's the matter, honey? Okay. Boom. I didn't hurt her. And I didn't throw her that hard. Don't report me to the social services. I thought, what do you want me to do? That's the way men are. Man, there's something about men are selfish. You hear about that guy? They want a trip to Hawaii for two. He went twice. That's the way men are. A man's biggest problem is he's selfish. It's his nature. It's me, 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 I. A woman's biggest problem is her mouth. Didn't like that, did you? She can't keep it shut. That's why you think, you say, you think we're long-winded? Listen, if women preach, you never would get out of here. It lasts 3 hours. I mean, one more thing. Bam. I mean, they'd cuss you out. I mean, 2 or 3 hours and finally let you go home. A dead marriage. I'll say this, and this is all I'm going to say on it right now. Marriage is the leaving of me to become the one of us. Some people are too selfish to be married. They need to get a divorce from themselves. It's three things a marriage is. You already married? Here's your marriage counseling for tonight. And you can go spend $500 on a marriage counselor and let me save you money. I'll give you something better than $500 of marriage counseling tomorrow. You ready? Number one, mutual caring. Number two, mutual respect. Number three, mutual honesty. Amen. Mutual respect, mutual honesty. You can't have no kind of marriage being dishonest with each other. Lying. Lord, I know some people say, I don't believe one word comes out of his mouth. That's a pitiful way to have to live, ain't it? But it's true. A lot of people have to live like that. I can't trust her out the door, preacher. You say, what are we going to do? You got to live that stuff down. You got to live that stuff down. Prove yourself. Do right. Serve God. Ask the Lord to help you. He whom thou lovest is sick. Lord, raise that marriage from the dead. I'll talk about somebody because they're not here tonight. They're probably watching on the internet, though. Jeremy and Michelle sit right here. And he's got a job working up in Virginia. And I don't know if they're watching that or not, but if they are, I'll embarrass her. Michelle's already read the Bible through this year. Started January 1st and already read the whole Bible. That might help you be a better wife, I believe. And Michelle has read, and you know how when people send you text, they got a, I don't know what it is, like a little signature, like, you know, like if Jordan sent me a text, it would say, hey, Brother Danny, I'm praying for you, something like that. And it'll say, Jordan, he'll say her name. You know what Michelle says? Love being Jeremy's wife. That just makes some of y'all sick, don't it? I wish to the Lord some more of you would act like that. There ain't nothing wrong with a woman that's glad she's happily married. Nothing wrong with that at all. You say, Lord, their days are coming. It might be. Might be. But I tell you what, they're doing good now. What's yours say? I hate my husband. Get a text. Have a good day. I hate my husband. If you was honest, that's what he'd say. Lord have mercy. Better shut up right there, Hannah. You know what the Lord said? Lazarus had been in there 4 days and it said he stinketh. How would you describe your marriage tonight? Does it stinketh? He said, Brother Danny, our marriage stinketh.
It hath been dead 4 days already. I ain't going to preach long now. You better get it. You better get it. Do you stinketh? If thou wouldest believe, thou wouldest see the glory of God. The fire died. He can raise it from the dead. The Bible is the best marriage book, counselor book in the world. I told you I bought some marriage counseling books down there for the sweetheart banquet. Man, it's good. Every married couple in here ought to read that one. I forget the fellow's name. It's called Love and Respect, something like that. What a woman wants more than anything in the world is love. They want somebody to love them. You know what a man wants? Respect. He wants to think he's the big, tough, macho, bad guy. And if you don't give each other that, you're in trouble. You're stupid. You ain't got no sense. Poor. I know a girl who used to call her husband a bad name, like a bad name, put down big time. And eventually they separated. I know that. You know why people have an affair? It ain't just because of the way a person looks. It's because of the way that person makes them feel. I've seen guys cheat on their wife, and the woman they cheated with wasn't half as pretty as her wife. And you know why they did it? Because she, oh, you're wonderful. You're so strong. You're so smart. You're so, you know, that's what a man got. You know, men are just so simple and so dumb and so one-track mind. You just brag on them a little bit, they'll be all right. Like a dog. Pet him once in a while, he'll be fine. Women are way more complicated, brother. Man just got one brain. He just think about one thing. Women's brains are like spaghetti. 10,000 things. Everything's connected to everything else. The way you feel right now, something happened yesterday morning. Weird, man. You're weird. But I'm going to tell you something. I'm not marriage counseling tonight. I'm just saying, does your marriage need to be raised from the dead? Both get right with God. Both do what the Bible says. I've been marriage counseling for 30 years and ain't no better advice than this right here. Don't take each other for granted and do what the Bible said. Forgive, forget, put everything in the past behind you. Don't keep bringing up stuff. Once somebody said, I'm sorry, don't ever bring it up again. Don't keep beating each other over the head with stuff and live for God and do right. Put the Lord first and honor Him, and anybody can make it. Anybody can. It might not be heaven on earth, but you can make it. I'll say a couple things more than I'm done. A woman needs love. A man needs respect. And when both get right with God and both do what the Bible says, it can happen. Number three, I'm done. A dead existence. The Bible said that she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. If you ain't got the Lord in your life, the Bible says you're dead. It's like a dead church, like a dead marriage. There's dead people walking. They think this is Walking Dead. Ain't that a show, a movie, or a TV or something? I assume, I don't know, but I assume it's talking about like zombies and stuff. Now, and I've never seen it, but I assume that there's people probably walk like you. I don't know. If a zombie can come alive, he ought to be able to walk a little bit better than that. How come a zombie can't just walk like this? Swag a little. You know? I mean, how come a zombie has to walk like this? If you're that much alive, look like you could move your hands or something, play guitar or something. But anyway, there's a lot of people that are walking around out here that are walking dead. Bible says, she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Spiritually dead. So spiritual zombies. That'd be a good message, wouldn't it? Be a good message. Spiritual zombies. You ever know anybody like that? Spiritually, they can't say amen, can't raise their hand. Zombies can't raise their hand and say hallelujah, praise the Lord. They can't do it. Are you that way tonight? She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. That's a zombie. Is dead while she liveth. They're dead and alive. What are zombies? Demons? Or demons get in dead people's body and make them come back alive? Or I don't even know. What are they? I know, but how come he can't walk right? They got broke legs when they come back alive and they're still broke. Well, anyway, I guess they make them do like that because you wouldn't really know there's a zombie if they just walked like everybody else. That ain't scary. But you know what? There's a lot of spiritual zombies in churches tonight. Zombies. All right, let's come to the choir. It was on a Monday. Somebody took... That's where a lot of them are, ain't it? It was on a Tuesday. You need to raise my dad, man. You're the walking dead. You're dead while you liveth. She that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. Wonder if tonight, you know what the Lord told Lazarus? I'm through. He said, Lazarus, come forth. And he got all right. What if the Lord told you that tonight?
In your marriage. Marriage, come forth. Sinner, come forth. I don't want to be dead while I'm living. That's awful.
I won't be dead while I'm living. I ain't going to do it. I'm alive tonight. I'm alive spiritually, and I'm alive physically. I have had the best week. This past week has been the best week that I've had in ages. I've had, even somebody told me, they said, but Danny, you've had the best. I have had a wonderful week. It seemed like the Lord, I mean, everything ain't been perfect, but it seemed like the Lord has just been right with me every step this week. You ever have times like that? It's just been so good. I just enjoyed being and reading my Bible. I've read extra chapters and prayed and making plans for the youth rally and this revival I got starting tomorrow night. I've really enjoyed it. You don't have to be this kind of Christian by Sunday school. You don't have to be like that. You're dead while you live it. You can enjoy being saved, going to church, and get in there. Just let the Lord say, come forth and help you tonight. Let's stand by our head for prayer.
Every head bowed, every eyes closed.